Welcome back to Real Tech Talk number 32. Today, we're changing it up. We haven't done enough for the environment. We're bringing them on. We're bringing the innovators who are actually bringing technology to real estate and the environment. I brought on Tangible Materials. Sit down, pay attention. And oh, by the way, she may or may not went to the number one school in this country. So we are bringing the quality direct to you. Like and follow. Pay attention because this podcast is the one that's going to change us for the greater in the environmental space, real estate, and technology. What else could you want to be listening to? Come on.
That's why we're here, bro. This is Real Tech Talk. Boom shakalaka. So who the hell are you, bro? You know, what are you into? What do you do?
Yo, you can keep it real here. Tell me. Tell me about these real estate players.
Eric Brody is the managing principal of CEMVC LLC. All opinions expressed by Eric and podcast guests are solely their own opinions and do not reflect the opinion of CEMVC LLC. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as a basis for investment decisions. Clients of CEMVC LLC may maintain positions in the securities discussed in this podcast.
Welcome back, people. It's episode number 30, Deuce Real Tech Talk with your boy E Breeze. Today, we're bringing you intelligence. We're bringing you environmental consciousness. And as always, we're bringing you technology. Nicole, thank you for coming through and spending your time with me. Much appreciated. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks so much for having me.
So Nicole and I met recently and we were discussing just sort of the impact sort of like how technology was going to impact the environment. And I was having the hardest time understanding the ways in which tech were actually going to have an environmental impact. And then serendipitously, we met, and that is sort of what you have created. And I'd love to just hear a little bit about your background and then how you got into this game of the tech and environmental space. I think it's very apropos as to what's happening today.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you hit on it perfectly that right now there's a lot of misinformation, there's a lot of confusion, and it's tough to break through that noise and just simplify it.
You know what? Do me a favor.
Yeah.
Tell everyone about that. What happened to you if you were in real estate and you were paying attention to the environment a decade ago?
Yeah, a decade ago, no one cared. Everyone was saying, oh, this could be something nice. It could be something that maybe down the line would have marketing benefits. There was some movement in maybe what was called impact investing at that time or socially responsible investing, but it really was not widespread in the way that you're seeing today.
So what I saw, and I want to know what if you feel this as well. If you took that risk a decade ago, and I'm talking strictly New York City,
yeah,
you're now being penalized for it. So you went with LEED, right? That was the name, that was the flavor of the month.
Yep.
It was LEED certified, right?
Yeah.
And today, based on what you're going to talk about and what you're attacking, you'd be fined if you were a LEED building right now.
So it is such a complicated world to really navigate. And right now, a lot of those people who 10 years ago started on that path, they're actually ahead of the curve, but that's not the story that gets its way back. Because what's tricky is right now, people are trying to figure out as a city, how do we set these standards that are both actually going to be achievable, but also are going to push people toward the types of changes that are needed. And that's a really messy in between right now.
Can I tell you, I've never seen anyone so politically correct throw out that LEED. Actually, you're ahead. So I think that was pretty amazing that you've had enough of these
Thank
conversations
you.
Knowing you can't be like, you totally pissed your money away. You're okay. We got you.
Just one or two. Well, it's interesting because a lot of the cities and, you know, whether it's a municipality or state building like performance standards that are coming out now, they're more focused on energy intensity. And LEED has actually gotten written into a lot of the building codes. So that's almost like part for the course. And so it's maybe 10 years ago was going to position you as a leader. But right now it's kind of like, oh, okay, that's something that if we're going to be making any claims on an environmental standpoint, like you just have to do that.
So that's fascinating. Why did that change? What did we not understand that we now understand? And then give us a little bit of your background and then what you're attacking. So
yeah,
what were we missing? Like, we knew about the environment,
mm-hmm,
right? And it was fascinating to us, but why did we not have any type of standard with which to apply to the built world?
It was, I think just a lot of, okay, we have all of the what we know about the environment on one hand, and then we have the messy actual world of development in another. And so people have been trying to, you know, LEED came out in, I believe it was 93, and then now there are over 100,000 certified different projects around the world. But it really took a while for people to connect what we knew with the way that development is happening. And so...
So there was a disconnect between sort of a thesis as to impact, but then it was like, but you're not tying that back to how we actually execute these projects.
Exactly. And that was, so about 10, 11 years ago, I was an undergrad, was working, was a part of this group called Responsible Investment at Harvard, and we're advocating for the university.
Whoa, slow down.
Oh, I can't just drop that one.
You just drop it, Bob. Okay. Oh, well, listen, I was at undergrad too. It was at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. I don't think anyone gives a shit. So you went to Harvard.
Indeed.
I've been waiting
yes.
to get into this. That's
yeah.
awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
How did you get into Harvard? Forget about the tech.
I didn't really have much of a social life besides my other friends who were also equal nerds in high school. And we really just like paid attention to school, but also tried to go kind of, I mean, on my end, I really loved Chinese. So I helped bring that to the district.
Oh, yeah, randomly. Yeah, that was random. You know, I was in high school. I like Chinese too. Chinese food. Okay, fascinating. So you get it to Harvard. Yeah. So we are... My audience, you have to understand, I am bringing quality to the table here, and I think that's just important that this University of Wisconsin graduate is bringing Harvard technologists to the table, okay? I'm going to tap myself on the back. Okay, cool. So you're at Harvard, and what was the interest, though? Because it has nothing to now do with tech or the environment.
No.
So how did that, you know, where's that trajectory?
Yeah, so that was really with this group. We were for the first time talking with the university about, hey, there's this thing called ESG. And at some point, the university is probably going to have to build that into its investment decisions. Because first of all, the university is looking at the actual impact it has on the world, has all of, you know, their...
And also they have a massive influence sort of on these generations or the perceived influence. So
exactly.
When you brought that up, I guess they were... interested. They didn't say get out, right?
No, exactly. It was definitely a process and, you know, has been a long back and forth, but they did end up starting this social choice fund.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, I remember coming down to New York, to the city, and being at some type of like small impact investing like roundtable. And that was pretty much the extent of the industry at the time. Then in the last 10 years, you've seen like, you know, Fidelity, Vanguard, all of these massive cruise ships start to turn in this direction because there's been that recognition of the environmental world lives over here. The financial world actually has implications on that. How do we merge them?
But they've been failing.
But they've actually been doing pretty well. It's just that a lot of the top line news recently has gotten incredibly blown out of proportion.
Yeah, so I mean, I was just hearing a couple of these funds are like, we're trying to have impact investing and they couldn't find investments to impact or didn't do that well. So it was like, we need to sort of reprocess what we're impact investing in and how to make that happen.
Exactly. And now it's more about risk management. And it's like, hey, look, either you're going to get this priced in because of certain externalities that you're not taking into consideration when you're making your investments,
mm-hmm.
or the market has also in the last 10 years gotten way more conscious and they're going to start to exert pressure on publicly traded companies in a way that you're going to be exposed to.
Which is obviously, and we're going to get to it briefly as to what you then created,
yeah.
which is so apropos to that because if they're now changing and trying to put dollars behind it, they're trying to find founders in which to do so. And then what you're doing, which I find to be fascinating in a specific sector, has piqued their interest, right?
Thank you. Yeah.
But how did you get then from Harvard to tech to real estate tech to construction?
Yeah. So I'll try and make it short, but it's a winding path. I, after graduation, was working at a long-short equity fund, hedge fund focused on tech stocks. I was trying to apply ESG screens, but really just focused on the tech sector. And
how'd you get that job? Must have been very difficult out of Harvard, right?
It was... yeah, there
they were
two,
trying to interview you. I know.
One or two things.
That pedigree.
It's a... Yeah.
All right, so
sword.
Cool. So
but,
you
yeah,
go more to the finance world.
Did finance finance mm-hmm. world, full training, 30,000 foot view. Okay, what does it look like to actually have the business model that works? How does that get applied across, you know, hardware, networking, semiconductors, all the way up the stack to software and internet?
Which is a great experience because we see founders all the time, great idea, don't have a business model that makes any sense.
No.
So.
And you really need to be cautious of if you are going to invest in an asset heavy business model, like then go in eyes wide open, knowing what that's going to take. Mm-hmm.
Just say that again. By the way, if you start a business, kind of know where it's going.
Exactly.
I think that was, you know, it seems like common sense, but we don't see it, right? You see a lot of dreamers.
And you don't always have an actionable path that is going to generate enough cash flow to actually sustain you. So,
okay, cool.
Yeah, that was.
So now you understand the business side. Boom.
Got the business side. Great. Then I was like, okay, I need to get out. I need to go to China and I need to work on climate. Those were really, people ask, like, where did the China part come from?
Well,
we know.
You learned Chinese randomly and
exactly.
Where are you from? What?
Connecticut.
Yeah, Connecticut. Yeah. China's big in Connecticut,
exactly.
You know? So
exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And that for me was just like, I knew that I wanted to, in some way, shape, or form, figure out how to, in the greatest way possible, reduce our impact on the climate crisis that was happening. And not in a, I think so frequently it gets politicized, but at the end of the day, there's just a baseline level of there is a certain amount of a molecule that gets into our atmosphere and it makes things warmer. Mm-hmm. And regardless of what the past, 3,000 years have looked like, where when that goes up, temperatures go up, and when it goes down, it goes down. We're now at a point where it's pretty high. So we need to figure out ways to either get that out or to just make sure we don't get more in there. And I was like, this is all I want to work on. I'm going to go to China. I'm going to sit down, knock on 250 LinkedIn cold doors and just be like, hey, I'm Nicole. What you're doing sounds really cool. Could I have a 30-minute chat?
And what was it about? And that obviously that's the formulation of
Tangible.
Yeah. That is the tech that you have created, Tangible.
Yeah.
So what is Tangible doing?
So Tangible is building embodied carbon reporting software for real estate developers and owners. Mm-hmm. The goal.
And now, by the way, not that I was an expert because you explained it to me, but embodied carbon is a specific, it's the same molecule that we're talking about, carbon, and decreasing heat within the planet because we're producing too much of it. But what is embodied carbon and why is that such a special category?
Yeah. So embodied carbon is the carbon emitted to produce building materials. And it's such a big category because it is 11% of global emissions. But if you think about globally the amount of production of building materials and how completely spread out that is, it's been really difficult for people to get their arms around where that's coming from and what that looks like.
Okay. So when we produce the materials that we use in buildings, and I'll let you tell what those materials are in the production of it, it's just there's a production of a lot of carbon, right?
Yeah.
So to even understand what it is within those processes is one. That's not the business, and you'll tell me what the actual business is.
Yeah.
But so what are those materials that our audience would understand? What are some of those materials that are the worst with producing carbon?
Concrete, steel, aluminum, glass, insulation, pretty much all of the materials that you think of when you look at a skyscraper going up in New York and you walk by the
right.
job
so
site.
And since it's embodied, right? Because all we're seeing at the end of the day is sort of the aggregate that's then mixed to then produce it.
Exactly.
But the manufacturing of it. So what is that process that was just like, what are they doing when they're creating concrete? And I'm fascinated. Like, what is it that the end result is all of this carbon?
Yeah. So in between going to China and creating Tangible, I ran sustainability for a flooring manufacturer. And the reason that I got pulled to this embodied carbon space is because I was there in the factory seeing day in and day out the actual processes that were emitting that carbon. So mm-hmm. if you're on the concrete side, it's, they mix different aggregates and then all of it is really energy intensive. And so that's where the majority of the carbon
is emitted. Right. We found it through lime and then
exactly.
The production of lime is creating all of this output.
Yep.
So that's fascinating. Okay. So now we know, for lack of a better word, we're fucking the environment up, creating these embodied carbon materials.
Exactly.
So then what did Tangible do, or what is it doing that it's actually a technology with the right business model that you're saying that's impacting the environment?
We're giving the owners and people developing construction projects the ability to see, across their portfolio and within any given project where the highest impact materials are, how they can drive those reductions down, and then how they can ultimately figure out a path to build in lower carbon ways.
So let's just talk about the first layer, because I feel like that's huge, right? Information is power, right? You can read an article and understand that when I pour concrete, I'm adding. But what you're stating is, no, we're going to those developers and those owners, and we're auditing what's either existing or being produced to just light up, give you a sensor or just a window into how you are impacting the environment.
Exactly.
And I guess what then you had stated earlier is, at least then the investors or any stakeholder can now begin to understand if they're having an impact with their investments. Because otherwise, and not for nothing, you tell me what was before, you were guessing.
Right. Exactly. And where we talked about before, environmental concerns lived on one hand, financial investments on another. As investors have figured out, okay, we can calculate the impacts in this sector of investments this way, real estate has remained kind of a black box on the development front. On the operating buildings, we've got that.
You know, right, because you can get information on like electric usage, energy
gas,
like release, right?
Okay. Exactly. But then the development front has been a lot more spotty. What people were doing before was trying to say, this is how much we spent on the project. Maybe we can estimate the amount of carbon. But sometimes you have really cheap materials that are really high carbon, really expensive finishes that are low carbon. So it was kind of, it was very difficult to find that signal.
So what did you create then? An index of materials. So that's not tech. That's just a logging of like a CSV file or a database of like a grade for all materials?
So,
like, what did you do then?
Yeah, there have been incredible industry initiatives that have, including the Carbon Leadership Forum and Building Transparency, that really put the industry on the map in terms of, hey, we're aggregating all of this embodied carbon information. And then when we saw that, we were sitting there and saying, hey, we need to make sure that we can connect the gaps for any of these developers or LPs who want to connect that information with the actual project they're building.
Mm-hmm. And so now you've given them a dashboard to review what it is that they're doing,
right?
Exactly. Fine. Amazing. Now, what was the second part now? You're like, how do we now reduce or have an impact? So how do you now affect change?
Right. So that's the first piece. Get that zoomed out. Almost hot
spot analysis. Yeah, now it's now you lit it up. Yeah,
you
lit it up.
Cool.
You see it now.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Spotlight shone on it. And then from there, we say, hey, this material category makes up a really high percentage of your development. And also, it happens to be way above baseline. Why don't you take a look for some of these other materials that are actually below baseline?
And then the normal complaints, more expensive, and the new environmentally conscious materials don't have the same capacity as the traditional ones. Why am I listening to you?
So that's the really cool part, that there are categories of what we call innovative materials. Then there are the categories of the existing manufacturers who've just found ways to make their existing products less carbon intensive. And for the most part, those are ones that are already available in the market. They have the same performance standards. They can be through the same exact vendor reps. And so that's a really easy swap and step. The innovative products.
Well, just to stop there just for a second. Yeah. Like, isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Like, sorry. Like, if you just went to the manufacturer from Spain that costs the same to come here instead of this manufacturer, you're saving on that. And they're like, wait, what? And you're like, yeah, you can't say that the spec that you created, it's the same material, just they came up with a different way their score is less,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And they
found. So it's not that innovative material excuse.
No, it's actually one that is going to meet the same ASTM standards, is going to be able to function in the way that your installers will understand. So that's really cool. Then there is the whole category of innovative materials that we're seeing come online. And the goal is that as those are ready for market, we can build up enough demand that those developers can then say, hey, we're interested in trying this. How do we make sure that it's actually something that we can use in our projects?
Or even just expose them, right? That that it isn't in, you know, some fairy tale, that this can actually be usable one
day,
right? And they're working on it and we know them.
And shorten that path to market.
So now tell me just about the company then. So this sounds, you know, incredible. It's an actual scalable way of understanding your impact from a development perspective, right? What is it? Is it a SaaS? Is it a database? Like, what is the stuff now?
So
and then how's it going?
Yeah, it's a SaaS model, and it's very focused on the needs of the developers and owners. But also, we know that the general contractors, the design partners, the subs are going to be a pivotal part of that.
And the manufacturers.
Yeah, don't worry. My flooring background comes up to always make sure the manufacturers are at the table.
Well, they're either going to get rocked or really make it if they pay attention.
Exactly. And for the most part, they're already seeing that market pressure because the large logos that they sell to have been like, hey, look, this is the survey that you need to complete if you want to get into our market. So they've all started. They know this is on the horizon. Mm-hmm. And they will hopefully get more benefit from moving in that direction. But yeah, SaaS model, mm-hmm. focus on the developers. And we obviously didn't know how it was going to go until we started to go out to the market. We'd done a ton of kind of just conversations and research. But it's been really interesting to see in 6-month increments the way that last year people were like, oh, that's interesting. I've heard of this, but like maybe later. And then around the beginning of this year, people are saying, oh, we know that this is coming. Like 2024 is going to be the year we have to have some type of plan around embodied carbon. And so we've just been seeing that ramp. But it's still like really early days in terms of.
So where are you? Pre-seed, seed?
We raised a pre-seed when we got started, like Jan 2022, and then we closed a seed March of this year.
And you are onboarding customers, these developers?
We're onboarding customers, yeah.
And I guess something that's interesting is, are you going for these like monster companies because they're the ones who are at sort of the forefront of it all?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the clients will be just bigger developers of the universe.
And if you think about the overlap of who has either the LPs or the public market exposure this pressure, like those are the ones who also tend to have the large development projects that are emitting the most anyway. So it's kind of a helpful Venn diagram.
No, I agree. People are like talking about some of the business models where it's like if you go with the smaller and you get to the larger.
Yeah.
For you, it's like, actually, no, we've got to go larger. And then you can tell me how you think it trickles down to the smaller.
Exactly. Because they're the ones who right now are getting that pressure. For the smaller ones, it doesn't make sense for them to pay. They also have so much going on and not enough people to, you know, deal with just their current operations. Mm-hmm. So
I always think that as well. They just don't have the capacity to breathe to see what the change is. They're going to have to be a top-down change.
And so that's where we want to embed with the people who are already there and are like, look, we need to deal with this. We're trying to put it together in this hodgepodge process that takes like, you know, 50, 60 hours. Can there be one single place that I can go and manage the embodied carbon through?
And maybe you create some type of dashboard or some type of marketplace for the smaller to pick and choose, knowing that they're having some impact into
it,
right?
Yeah. And that even if you are like, look, I can't dedicate time to this, but what if we just looked at the top 5 material categories and we're like, oh, okay, this is a lower carbon one. Cool. If all else is equal, I'll go with this one. That way you just have some knowledge.
So, I mean, just in the fact that you raised in January, I think is already a massive feat. I'm assuming, you know, there was no money out there and yet people were still interested in giving capital. So that's pretty wild.
Well, my co-founder, Anneli, is responsible for fundraising and is a rock star. And we are incredibly grateful because the funds that we partnered with are leaders in the construction and prop tech space, and they are really deeply invested in this theme. So we also feel lucky that because we didn't get caught up in the frothiness of the late 2021 market, that these are people who are fully and totally invested and behind and partnered with us.
Right. And it's not, you don't have these expectations. It's, you know, happening today.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
So in onboarding customers, how has that been going? Have you been locking down actual customers? So it's already an MVP and you're already out there and you're locking down these customers and they're using it.
Yeah, they are. We put together an incredible team that is just, you know, our goal is to be a platform that we plug in really, really smart people who are smarter than us in their fantastic segments, and they're taking it and running with it.
All right, cool. So let's do something different.
Yeah.
Tell me, I'm going to ask some questions and just kind of just some quick answers. That doesn't have to be quick. You can answer. What's the biggest material culprit that you're like, don't see a solution yet for?
Don't see a solution yet for, I think, is going to be aluminum or flat glass. Those are kind of the two big ones. There's a lot of action on the concrete side. Steel, you have the ability to do recycled steel through electric arc furnaces. insulation might also be up there, but there are some cool products that are coming on the market, maybe just not yet at scale.
Yeah, I remember as a kid with insulation, your parents would be like, "Don't touch that shit," you know,
get within 10
feet of that. You need it and it works, but like, don't come near it, right?
Exactly. And that's also what you're breathing the air through. So that's another slight problem.
So what's like your biggest concern for your company in the coming year? Like, what's your biggest hurdle, you think?
Right now, it's how do we just build quickly enough to keep up with what people are asking for and making sure we sequence it appropriately. But it is incredible that people are asking for very specific things, and we've been able to hone in.
Right. And
that.
Like, get them making it too custom, right? Like, exactly. It's like everything is custom. You're like, no, we want to set up a specific product. You kind of got to work within our paradigm, right?
Yep.
Okay. Now, what's something that your industry is not talking about that is like super important that you think should be at the forefront on the environmental side? Now, it could be a business matter or a business model. It could be a material. Like, is there something out there that's like hidden that you're like, how come people don't talk about this?
It is those innovative materials. Like, you're sitting there and you're going, it would be entirely possible to swap out some of the raw materials that we're using in the more incumbent manufacturing processes. It's just there doesn't seem to be that connection. And so that is the goal of, if we can surface those first ones, then people start to realize that this is actually doable.
And I guess I would also say like a big issue is like the smaller parties, not the ones that are having pressure from their investors who are interested in learning. I found it to be completely confusing as to what you can do. And yet the only way you can now jump on board is if so you don't, the municipality doesn't fine you.
Right.
Like there's no one who could, is just, you know.
Educating.
Like, yeah, you can't educate and find out like what the deal is that you can do on a daily basis if you are a smaller landlord or a developer.
Right. And that is the goal too of like, how do we just be a resource? What does this look like to say, no pressure, but these are the different sets of information you might need.
So on that same point, what would you say to smaller developers? Like, what can they do? And what would you tell them?
Yeah, right now there are a few really easy material swaps that you can make. There are ones that, you know, you can look at your concrete that you're specifying and say, hey, we should have more SCMs in this, supplementary cementitious materials. It's like fly ash or slag. There's a whole nuanced
discussion.
Wait,
so right there,
it.
When you go into pour concrete, if you actually have a concern, talk to your structural and say, put in more
SCMs.
SCMs. Exactly. What else? What else can we tell people?
Yeah. The next thing would be to upfront, if you have a design team, to just ask them, like, hey, are there any really easy material swaps? Or just like bring up the word embodied carbon?
Fuck that. I'm asking you, what are the material swaps? Let me tell you right now, my engineers, not that I don't think they're brilliant and I love them, are also mid-market. They are not coming up to breed. So what am I telling them? SCMs. I think that
SCMs
was great.
SCMs for concrete. Then take a look at making sure that your steel is recycled. All of the make sure it's from electric arc furnaces. Like, those are going to be the two biggest things that you can do. Insulation is
so that would be in the sub agreement with the steel contractor. You would say that, boom, that is something you could change.
Got it. Then the next piece is going to be the insulation side of it, and that is the spray foam insulation, cross-linked polystyrene. All of that is hopefully, you know, a little bit on the way out. And,
oh, really?
Yeah.
Because people love that.
I know.
And it's like silent and it's smooth and
incredibly
you don't feel
effective.
Anything.
So what
do you say?
So the board insulation and bat insulation is a massive reduction just right off of the bat.
No way.
Yeah.
That's horrible.
Yeah,
I had no idea.
I know. It's
I
wild.
Thought the stuff that if I touched out my fingers were going to fall off was the bad. And you're telling me that the spray foam is really what's
the
bad.
The spray foam is bad. Yeah, it's tough. That's the big swaying things that you can do right off the bat. And then the rest is going to be so dependent on the structure, but it's probably going to be glass, aluminum. Like, if you don't have to have additional aluminum kind of, you know, features on the outside.
Oh, really? So mitigate if you're looking at it as like, you know, some type of profile to make it cool, don't do it out of aluminum.
Exactly. Yeah.
Wow. And that's like so inexpensive. You're blowing my mind right now.
I know.
All right. So let's get political. And since I have such a smart brain here, in today in the paper basically was like this idea that if you're going net carbon zero, and this has nothing to do with embodied carbon, we're talking straightly like the humans who have to occupy the spaces.
Yeah.
Everything has to be electric, right? Mm-hmm. Yet we don't have the capacity. Do you think either someone's withholding information about how we're going to have the actual power
power to go net zero, net carbon zero? Or are we like heading towards like 4x electric bills and like blackouts? Like, what do you think?
So I think right now we're at this impasse where we need to be moving in that direction of electrifying everything, and we don't quite have the capacity for it. But I also am strongly believing in the innovation on like the folks who are doing the battery storage side to make sure that there's smooth delivery of renewables at all times in the grid, and also of the people who are, you know, really pursuing purchase the PPAs on the renewable side to make sure that we get to that like ability to service the grid by the time everyone has electrified. Also, it's going to take a long time for every building in
now,
New York City.
Now, speaking of Chinese, though,
yeah,
aren't we playing to like their strength? That like they're like, we're gassed up, bro. Keep going electric. No beef. Go.
It's wild because China is both the largest emitter of carbon and also the largest producer of renewable energy. So they're actually leapfrogging us in terms of renewables. They're also trying to figure out how to wean themselves off of coal, but it's a push and a pull. Because we have a lot of concentrated folks in, you know, certain metro areas that are challenge in a way, well, we don't have an authoritarian government that is going to be able to...
it's happening in New York for sure, but yes.
Yeah. The challenge is really going to be how do we time things up so that we can make sure that as the buildings are electrified, that the grid is actually able to support that.
As long as, I guess, our tanks stay gas, we're good, right?
At the end of the day, I have a feeling they're going to do whatever they want.
So listen, I'd love everyone to be able to find you. Where are they finding you? How are they going to get involved? How are they going to understand? How can they use you as a resource?
Yeah, tangiblematerials.com. We are really excited to be now more publicly launched and to be available for developers to actually start onboarding and seeing what that impact of their projects is.
Yeah, I mean, I would be fascinated to kind of see its trajectory because people are really starving to be able to invest into companies like yourself. And if you're the one who sort of made that solution, it's going to be a pretty wild ride. I'm glad I got to communicate with you about it.
Well, I really appreciate you.
Now, remember, most important is you have to like and follow and subscribe
and such. Did.
Okay,
yeah.
Good.
Yeah,
I mean, that's
on the
like
walkover.
A prerequisite.
Yeah.
Oh, on the walkover.
Yeah.
Not the first time we spoke. Okay. We won't hold that against you. All right. Well, listen, I really appreciate your time, you coming through, and I can't wait to see like what happens with your company.
Thanks so much.
You got it.
Appreciate your shining spotlight.
No doubt. Listen, guys, in conclusion, honestly, one of the, I think, smartest humans to come up with a technology where she thought about the actual business plan, how she can make an application to technology where it would actually have an impact on the environment and that investors who are responsible for making this change would actually want to invest in. It's simple. It's easy. We didn't say it was a brand new thing. She's lighting up that there is a carbon issue. She's just identifying it so that you can actually make that change. I'm definitely watching this one. I want to pay close attention because this one could be huge. All right, peeps, make sure you like, follow, and subscribe.